they don't know. Some words that we use and some expressions that we use, and it's good, and some of it's even right. Some people don't even know what they're saying. As we talk to people and witness to people all the time, we ask them, how are you getting to heaven? They say, well, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Say, what does that mean? Well, I go to church and I worship God and I try to keep the commandments. I try to do right. They're telling me what they're doing. They're not telling me what Jesus did.
Amen.
That's not the gospel.
Amen.
I can get anybody at any time in Ghana I want to. I can get just about anybody to pray a prayer. It's not hard. I can get prayer. I can get people to pray a prayer. It take me 5 minutes. I can get anybody to make a prayer. Is that salvation?
No, sir.
See, Ghanaians are so quick to say yes to whatever, but they're so slow to catch what it is to be the gospel, what it is to be saved, that they've got to put their self aside and only see Christ. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the only way. It's not him and something else. It's not like you go into Walmart and you get this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing, put it in a basket and maybe one of them will work. To a Ghanaian, that's the way they think. Maybe if I accept this, I could be a Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. I just put it all in together. I'm all of that, and maybe I'll get to heaven through one of them. So you got to be real careful how you give the gospel over there, because they're quick to just accept whatever. We got Mormons all around us. We got Jehovah's Witness. We got everything known to man. So pray for us as we go back. It's the most confusing place that I've ever been, because they believe just about anything that you can think of, we've got it there. So pray for us there. They're in darkness.
Amen.
Look with me in Genesis chapter 37 tonight. I'm going to go through a couple of places in Genesis. We're going to look at a man named Joseph. There's probably a lot of people that would like to be second in charge of in Egypt. That time, the most powerful country in the world. Joseph's going to become the vice president of Egypt, if you will. And he's second in charge of one of the biggest countries, most powerful country at that time. And I'm sure everybody would like to be that. But what did it take for him to get there? See, everybody wants the end result, but nobody wants to go through what it takes to get there. Everybody wants the great things of the ministry. Man, look at the Apostle Paul. And when people talk about the Apostle Paul, they don't talk about his prison ministry. They don't talk about when he got invited to the rock concert. He got stoned. All right. He didn't go to the rock concert like most folks. Everybody wants the end result, but nobody wants what it takes to get there. See, the Christian life is about God doing what God wants to do to get you and I to the point where he can finally use us. Not the way that you think, but the way that he wants.
Amen.
And see, God doesn't do the easy path. God doesn't do the way we thought it would turn out. I've told people, several people, nothing in the ministry has ever turned out the way that I thought it would. Somebody asked me when I was on deputation the first time to tell them my goals, and man, I told them all my goals for the ministry. Man, it sounded good. Not a one of them things happened the way that I thought it would. Nothing in the ministries happened the way I thought it would. Nothing in my Christian life has happened the way that I thought it would. But it's all been right. You want to pray that you get close to God? What if he's got to do some things in your life in order to get you there? And what if it's not the way that you thought it was? Because most folks will get angry. Most folks get mad at God. Most folks will even quit God. Because God doesn't do the way things that you thought he was supposed to. Somehow we've got the idea that we can tell God what to do. It's become amazing. In Genesis chapter 37, I want you to look at this in verse 1 and 2. Notice this, it says, and Jacob dwell in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, And the lad with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought on his father their evil report. How old is Joseph? 17 years old. Now, all of his brothers are older than he is, right? He's been looking up to them for years. These are his older brothers. Some of them might be twice his age. Some of them might be in their 30s. Some of them might be in their 40s. They're his older brothers. And as he's looking up to them, and he dreams dreams, and he tells them his dream, and they get jealous of him, and they get upset with him. Verse 28, same chapter. They catch him. And they say, well, we've got a plan for Joseph. They were jealous of him. They make a plan. Then they passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. They brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren, and he said, the child is not, and whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and they killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they set the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, we have found, this we have found. We know not whether thy son coat or no. Liars. And he knew it, and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast had devoured him. Joseph, without a doubt, rent in his pieces. Joseph rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins. Mourned for his son many days. You're 17 years old. All your brothers, the ones you looked up to, the ones that you trusted, the ones that you had confidence in, they turned on you. How many of you want that to happen in your life? 17-year-old boy. I mean, these are his brothers. These are his older brothers. Jeremiah, my youngest boy, he looks up to my oldest boy. And anything my oldest boy does dumb, here comes the other two. Man, they look up to him. 17 years old, his brother sold him as a slave to another country. Man, I sure would want that in my ministry. And all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. He said, for I will go down to the grave with my son mourning. And his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him unto Egypt, unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and the captain of the guard. So the Midianites sell him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites sell him to Potiphar. It sounds like a great ministry, doesn't it? 17-year-old boy. You're sold to one group, who sells you to another group, who sells you to another man. Get pretty angry, wouldn't you? Probably be hurt. There'd probably be a lot of emotions, and it doesn't tell us all that he went through, but I want you to look in chapter 39. Verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Here he is, slave, foreign country. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over all of his house, and all that he had put in his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house of the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and knew not aught that he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Man, here he is. He's a slave. I don't even know how many years passed by between the time that they caught him and the time that he's now over. He's in charge at Potiphar's house. He's a slave, but he didn't let that get a part of him. He didn't become bitter. He didn't get mad. He didn't become angry. He kept trying to serve God, kept trying to do right, kept trying to live right. He didn't quit. It didn't change because of his circumstances. It didn't change who he was. He didn't compromise. He didn't give up. So he said, I'm still going to do right. So he's doing right. Man, he's going. And man, God's blessing and everything looks great. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife caught her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused. And said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to him, Joseph, day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, but to lie with her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went in the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Verse 12. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now what did he do? He said no. She went and grabbed him by the coat, and he ran out of the house without his coat on. I don't know. I don't think he was all the way without clothes, but it said he was naked, so we just have to go with what the Bible says. I don't know. So here he is. He's running. And she called on the men, verse 14, men of her house, and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew to us to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when they heard that, I lifted up my voice, and that he left my garment with me and fled, and he got him out. She laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. That's her husband. She spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in to mock me. And it came to pass, I lifted up my voice and cried, and he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did the servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. What did Joseph do wrong? 17 years old, his family turned on him. Now he's in Potiphar's house. He's trying to do right, and they lying on him. Right? Is he trying to defend himself? Is he trying to take up for himself? He just stays and does what's right. See, most of the time what happens is the family starts turning against us, we're going to compromise with them. Friends start turning against us, we're going to compromise with them. We're going to change what we've done. We're going to change what we believe. This fella, what did he do? He stayed the course. He did what's right, no matter if anybody was around, when somebody was around, somebody wasn't around, because he wasn't doing it for them. He was living right for God. You see, the problem is some people say they want to serve God, but they're living in such a way where you can't serve God like that. But if you try to live right and you try to do right, things are going to happen in your life that ain't so fun. It happened in Joseph's life. It happened in Job's life. It happened in David's life. David, God tells David, David, you're going to be the king. What do you see? Next thing I know of, he's hiding out in a cave. Why? Because he was sinning? No, because he was doing right. Here he's falsely accused. He's saying, man, he tried to rape me. He ran out of the house because he was trying to get away from that crazy woman. All of these things were happening in Joseph's life. I wonder if he ever sat down and was trying to figure out, why in the world? I'm serving God. I'm trying to do right. See, he didn't have chapter 40. He didn't have chapter 41. He didn't have chapter 42. He's living and he can't see what's going to happen 10 years down the road, 5 years down the road. He can't see any of that. All he sees is, I'm going from bad to bad to bad, but I'm still trying to serve God. And this doesn't make any sense. So now he's down in jail. Man, he's gone to jail. We see him, I mean, he's sitting in jail. Chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, the house of the prison where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And watch this. And he served them. And they continued a season in ward. Wait a minute. He's still serving. He's still leading. But wait a minute. His circumstances changed. Man, he goes from being there and his family betrayed him. He goes to being in a house, got messed up again. Now he's in prison. And what is he doing? Oh, well, I can't believe God did this. Man, I can't believe God did. Oh, my goodness. What is he doing? He's still doing right. He's still serving. He ain't sitting down feeling sorry for himself. I've been guilty of that. Maybe you haven't. Praise the Lord for you. But I have. All he's done so far is do right. And we see bad after bad after bad happen in his life. You ain't alone. You want to serve God. You want to do right. It's coming, son. Things aren't going to be the way that you thought they were. You're not going to have some Mary Poppins kind of life where everybody sings and dances on the rooftops. It ain't going to happen. It was a rough life. It was a hard life. Nobody wants to be Joseph in these verses. Nobody said, you know what, I want to be like Joseph. Nobody's praying for that. He goes down and you got the butler and the baker. And as he goes down there and they dream, each one of them going to dream a dream. And the butler dreams a dream. And man, that dreams, he didn't understand it. The baker dreams a dream. He didn't understand it. They're talking about that thing with Joseph. Joseph gives him the dream. After he gives him the dream, it takes 2 or 3 years. He gives him the dream. Butler gets out. Baker dies. Joseph says to the butler, when you get out, you know, remember me. Help me get out of this thing. And he forgets about him. He's doing right. Trying to serve God. Trying to go forward. He didn't get mad. He didn't compromise what he believed. He didn't give up. He didn't yell and scream and act crazy. He just kept going. Kept doing right. Kept living right. Kept walking right. I'm not long tonight. Everybody said amen to that. He was sold and abandoned by his brothers. He was a slave in Potiphar's house. He was falsely accused of rape. He goes to jail. He was forgotten by the butler. Man, his life doesn't seem like a wonderful life. There's not going to be any holiday specials on Joseph's life to this point, is it? Don't sound good. This is the Christian life that nobody wants. But this is the Christian life. He's going to end up saving his entire family. The ones that turned on him. The ones that hated him. Guess who they're going to have to come to? Him. All of the nation of Egypt and all these people that had gone against him, and man, you're the man, and they threw him in jail, and man, they got him good. Guess who's going to need him? Egypt. Why would God allow all these things to happen into his life? Maybe it's so Joseph would know that it wasn't him, it was God. God takes this boy and he uses him in such a way, changes the way he looks at the world, changes the way, and the boy stayed constant, stayed constant, stayed constant. I bet you there were some folks looking. Joseph maintained his integrity regardless of his situation. He maintained his integrity no matter what happened to him. He stayed the way he was when nobody was praising his name. When nobody knew who he was. Whether it was family problems or whether it was whatever problems, he stayed the course. He did right and he maintained his integrity. And in the end, they're going to all need him. Are you going to be that one? When everything turns upside down in your life, are you going to be that one that's going to stay right? Are you going to be the one that's going to quit? When I started in Bible college, there were 10 of us. When I graduated, there's only 2 of us right now that are serving God. Out of 10, there's only 2. It's not because I'm the smartest, because I wasn't. Not because I was the best preacher, because I wasn't. I had people praying for me. That's a big reason. I'm just too stubborn to quit. Eastern North Carolina helps with that. Are you going to give up? Are you going to quit? Are you going to change what you believe? I've come back this time and I'm telling you, churches have changed. Churches have changed what they're preaching. Churches have changed their music. Churches have changed a lot of things to try to keep up with the times. But that's not who God's going to go to when God needs a man, when God needs somebody. He's going to go to that one that stayed the course, regardless of what happened, regardless of the ups and downs, regardless of all the things that happens. They're going to need somebody. Your family's got lost loved ones? Quit now, see what happens. They ain't never going to get saved. They see you going through tough times and hard times. They see bad things going on in your life. Quit now. See what happens. There's times where everybody's tempted to say, "Well, forget it." Joseph stayed the course. Joseph stayed right, lived right, did right. God is looking for leaders and servants that will endure hardness. This world is getting worse, not better. The ministry is getting harder, not easier. There's less guys on the mission field now than there was 10 years ago. Even though y'all might see a lot of missionaries, I will guarantee you there are less missionaries right now than there was 15 years ago when I first, 15, 20 years ago when I started deputation, 18 years, whatever, when I started deputation. There's less men on the mission field now than there was before. There's not a ton of young preachers around most of the United States. There's not. There's a lot of old preachers dying off, but there's not a lot of young ones coming on. For every one, and y'all have seen some guys that have gone to Ghana, for every missionary that's going to Ghana, there's about 5 coming off. There's about 5 missionaries. Now I'm seeing them packing up and they're leaving. Packing up, they're quitting. Packing up and they're going to take another thing. They're packing up and they're leaving. Because the devil's fighting. The devil just wants them to compromise, wants them to quit. Why? Because just like in Joseph's life, what would have happened if Joseph gave up at Potiphar's house? You know the story of Joseph. In the end, he becomes second in charge of Egypt. Why? Because he endured all of these things so that God could put him in the position where God wanted him, so that he could be the man that God wanted him to be. What would happen at Potiphar's house and Joseph just gave up and said, "Forget it"? What would have happened when he goes to jail and he just said, "Forget it," and gave up? God's looking for a servant that can be a servant no matter what happens. God's looking for leaders that'll be leaders no matter what happens. It doesn't matter if good things come. It doesn't matter if everything is bad, 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 bad. Are you still going to be the same? Are you going to still be a person of integrity? Because that's what a Christian is. Not somebody that everything's going right and they're praising God, but when everything's going wrong, they're still saying, like Job said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the Lord." If God's God, then He's God. It doesn't matter how bad things are. If you're a leader, if you're a preacher, God's still on the throne, whether everybody loves you and knows what you're doing or nobody loves you and nobody cares. If you're a servant, you're a servant. If somebody says, oh, I appreciate you, brother, or if nobody says, I appreciate you, brother. If everybody treats you like a doormat, are you still going to serve? See, the test of Christianity isn't how everybody acts and everybody reacts. Am I pleasing God? Am I doing what I know to be right, regardless of what happens? Am I doing what I know to be right? What this world is lacking are Christians that are Christians, regardless of the circumstances. When it comes around to election time, everybody's born again. 2 days after election, everybody's getting drunk. Even our Christian politicians. Oh, they're holy before the election. During the election. The day after election, everybody's getting drunk. What is it? There's nothing real to them. I remember as a young boy, I was 15 years old. And I remember, because I was in a place where I shouldn't have been as a 15-year-old boy. And I remember there was a church that my mom went to, and I'd go there every once in a while. I really didn't care nothing about it. But I remember a young boy, and man, he came up to get, they were going to give him, the church was going to give him a scholarship to go to a school. Man, they gave him $1,000, and he's standing up in front of the church, and man, they're telling him how great boy this is. I remember as a 15-year-old boy looking at the boy, And I wasn't in church. We were somewhere else. And he's got a beer in his hand. Now, I didn't say I was a Christian. I didn't say I was a great, great church goer or anything. I didn't understand Christianity at that time. I didn't get saved till I was 25. But I remember looking at him, and he's got a beer in his hand. And I was thinking to myself, if that's Christianity, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And I didn't for 10 years. Till I got saved at 25. It's not what you are at church. It's not what you are when everything's good. It's, are you going to be consistent whether it's up, whether it's down? Are you going to be a servant whether everything's perfect or whether it's not? God needed a man. God chose Joseph. God took him and allowed him to go through all of that stuff to get into where he wanted to be. Moses, in the desert for 40 years, walking with some dumb sheep. John Lauderville, you got him up there? He came over to Ghana. And I was driving him around, and one night it was dark. We had taught in Bible college, and it was dark, and we're driving back, and what do we see in the middle of the road? Sheep. John said, man, sheep are dumb. I said, Jesus calls us sheep. He's sitting there going, oh, no. He was, and y'all can hear him say that too. There's sheep in the middle of the road. Dumb sheep. God wants to see, are we going to be consistent? Are we going to be the same? Are we going to be the same Christian on Sunday as Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Are you going to be saying amen and hallelujah when all your bills are paid? Or are you going to say amen and hallelujah when you don't have any money? Is God still God when you got cancer? Is it still the same one as when you got good health? When your family turns against you, when everything goes wrong? Moses, 40 years in the wilderness with dumb sheep. So that God could prepare him. He was in 40 years of, I don't understand what God's doing in my life. 40 years of God forgot about me. 40 years of, I'll never be used by God. He was in 40 years in God's Bible college. He didn't get a degree. There wasn't a diploma at the end. At the end of that 40 years, God said, okay, now I can use you. And he's sitting there going, can't use me. He said, now I can use you. Nah, God, not me. Took 40 years to get him ready to be used. Took Joseph all that he had to go through in order for God to get him to the right position to where God could use him. and you look at person after person, you look at David, you look at all these men that all these bad, look like bad thing, bad thing, bad thing, bad thing. And then all of a sudden at the end you say, wow, I want to be like that. But nobody says, hey, I want to go through what it takes to get there. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. You really? Here, you want to get stoned? You want to get beaten? You want to get thrown in prison? You want all your friends and family to hate you? You want people to come looking after you? Try to kill you? You want to escape down a basket in the middle of the night? Is that, you want that kind of Paul? Or you want the one that God used and he went across all these places? You want the one that got shipwrecked? No, we don't want that. We want the one that preached and had a good name. What did it take that God had to do in his life to get him to the point where he didn't say, look how great I am? God had to do some things in his life. God has to do some things in our lives to get us to the place where God can use us and we won't be proud. We won't take his glory. He's looking for that one, that man, that woman, boy, girl, whoever it is, because God really doesn't care. That one that's going to be consistent whether everything's great or whether nothing's great. God's looking for that one that's just going to be consistently going forward, have integrity, say, I'm going to serve God. They threw me in jail. Okay, I'll serve God. They forgot about me. Okay, I'll serve God. My family don't like me. Okay, I'm going to serve God. My friends don't care about me. Okay, I'm going to serve God. Boss, I lose my job. Okay, I'm just going to serve God. Everywhere he went, he just said, okay, I'm going to serve God. Everything that happened to him, okay, I'm just going to serve God. And God blessed everywhere he went because of his attitude. How's our attitude? How are we when it goes wrong? Are we going to say, oh me? Sometimes I could sing that song. It's got 15 choruses. I've sung it a long time sometimes. We're going to sing, oh me, oh me, oh me. Or we're just going to go forward for God. Serve God and live for him. See, Christianity is not Joel Osteen. It's not everything's happy all the time. And we're riding unicorns and throwing out purple marshmallows. That's not Christianity. That's a fairy tale. Christianity is up and down. So Christianity is hard. It was easy for me as a lost man because I just did whatever and whatever happened, happened. It's hard for me as a saved man because I've got to fight doing whatever. I'm trying to do right and still all these things come. Joseph was trying to do right and still all these things came. And in the end, he helped his family. In the end, he helped all the nation of Egypt. But man, what did he have to go through? Maybe the reason why God's doing some things in your life is to get you to the point where he can trust you. Get you to the point where he can use you. Get to the point where you can be a Christian, not the one that's going to be on TBN, but the one that's going to be a real one. God's looking for real Christians, not cardboard cuttings of some other Christian. I tell people all the time, there's never been two people in the Bible that God's used exactly alike. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to mimic somebody else. You try to be like God wants you to be. You endure hardness like a good soldier. You follow God no matter what happens. You just suck it up and you keep going forward. When I was in the military, when your knees start hurting, your back's hurting and everything's give out, but man, you just had to keep going. You know, I learned I could shut that pain off and I could keep going because my mind was stronger than my body was. My body broke down later, but I could shut that pain down and I could keep going. Your mind can do some things if you let it. Are you going to serve him or are you going to follow him even when it gets hard? Are you going to be like Joseph or are you going to give up? Everybody wants to be Joseph in the end. Everybody wants to be like Paul in the end. Everybody wants to be like David in the end. But do you want to be like him in the beginning or in the middle? That's what it takes. These men were men of integrity. These were men that God could trust. These were men that endured hardness. And these are the men that became victorious. But God had to do a whole lot in their life to get them to that point. What's God doing in your life? Maybe it's because He loves you. Maybe it's because He heard you pray, God, I want to be just like you. God, I want to serve God. I want to be just like you. Look at all Jesus had to go through to please God. What are you willing to go through in order to be like Him, Pastor?
Let's bow our heads for just a minute. I want to give you an opportunity if you need to respond to the Word of God this evening. While Jordan's playing, God spoke to your heart. Would you be obedient to His Holy Spirit?